Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is the first reading from Ezekiel chapter 34. And first of all, I'd like to know who plans this stuff. It feels as if the lectionary has been beating me up. For 3 days straight, sitting in church on Sunday, for starters, and then in chapel here, I've squirmed as I've listened again and again to the words of Jesus from Luke 14 about the cost of being his disciple, and frankly, it's been tough. If any man does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, whoever does not bear his cross, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. I get it, I think. And it's not a message that offers much comfort, is it? The Lord is in deadly earnest, and we better listen. It's good to hear, no doubt. Important to remember, for sure. For 3 days, I've been daily reminded in public, in front of God and everybody, that I'm a bad disciple, not really qualified to be a disciple at all. Now, no doubt that sobering clarity about who I'm willing to hate and what I'm willing to suffer and what I'm willing to renounce for Jesus' sake will wear off soon enough. Such clarity usually does. But for now, the repetition has hammered it into my thick skull that this following Jesus business is far more serious than my mind and heart and will are really prepared for. But bad, unqualified disciples are not the whole story, not the main story, not really the point after all. The story that God is telling us, the story into which he is speaking us, isn't about what we should or shouldn't or cannot do. It's about God. Listen to what the Lord God says. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And who are these sheep? These spectacularly lucky ovines who will get personal attention and care from the Lord God himself. They are his people, his Israel, the tribe and flock he picked for his very own possession. It's fair to say that they showed no particular aptitude for being his holy people. No special qualifications were evident for them to be recipients of God's promises or bearers of his blessings to all nations. He just chose them and loved them and attached his name to them and decided to tangle himself up with them and their story forever. The gospel reading today reminds us that the Lord God is still a busy sheep seeker. Say that 3 times. It is God's indelible character to go after the ones who are lost and bring them back to safety. That's what he is up to in the world. That's what he is up to in our lives because he decided to love us. Because he splashed his name all over us and makes us his own. Do you know what this means? It means that when I wander off where the GPS don't go, and I do. The Lord God Himself will come looking for me. It means that even when it is my own stupid fault, and it is, the Lord God Himself is going to bring me back. It means that He Himself will patch up my cuts and bruises inside and out, self-inflicted and otherwise. It means that if I'm a bad disciple, He Himself is the one who will prop me up and keep me from just keeling over. If I'm a bad disciple, and I am, then I'm a bad disciple of a really, really great Lord. It means that I'm a poor sheep, but I belong to the one great and awesome shepherd. And so do you. That's really, really good news. And yet, hang on. This word of the Lord through the prophet Ezekiel has something else, something we pastors and wannabe pastors need to hear. You see, we have appropriated and domesticated all this shepherd talk. It's interesting that we don't usually think of Barack Obama or Warren Buffett as shepherds, although that might be closer to Ezekiel's meaning here. But rather, for us, shepherd has become a church word. It's a synonym for pastor. Sometimes we call ourselves under shepherds to make clear that it's Jesus who is really in charge, but also to remind ourselves and others, by the way, just how closely connected we are to Jesus. But speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, God doesn't have in mind that kind of shepherd creep, that kind of fuzzy blurring of the title so it gets applied to us too. There is one shepherd, and it ain't you or me. And God does promise to judge between one sheep and another. Between the skinny sheep that gets pushed around and undernourished and the fat sheep that pushes the others around. That's what the would-be self-styled shepherds and leaders of God's people are, you see, in Ezekiel's language here. They're fat sheep. Fat sheep who figure that they're entitled to the good things in life at the expense of the others. Well, the Lord God will have none of it. Attention, all who consider themselves to be shepherds, under shepherds, chairman of shepherding departments, associate and assistant shepherds, and shepherds in formation. God has not called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified His whole Christian people on earth for your benefit. God's flock doesn't owe you a life of comfort and prestige and privilege. And the shepherd isn't happy when we sheep mistreat or exploit his other sheep. Now, I'm not going to go on a jihad against under-shepherd language. I know what we mean. There are good reasons to use that kind of language, but don't use it when preaching on Ezekiel 34. There will be one shepherd, and the Lord God Himself will judge between sheep and sheep. So, my fellow bad disciples, my fellow unqualified sheep, let the shepherd, the real shepherd, the Lord God, and His anointed Son of David, let Him be the shepherd of His people. And remember that he is your shepherd too, who looks for you when you are lost, who brings you back when you have strayed, who rescues you and protects you and restores you and loves you. Rejoice in his perfect provision and his tender care, and love his sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.